Hello, this is Pastor Jay, and I want to encourage you today. You feel stuck right now, and it's just the first part of the year. You don't feel like you're going forward, and sometimes you feel like you're going backward. And I want to give you the answer. Come a little closer. The answer is you. It's all inside of you. If you're the child of God, you have everything you need to do what God has called you to do, to move forward out of the position that you're in mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But you must use the keys that God has given you. And these keys are Bible study, prayer, fellowship, time, tender, and talent into the ministry that God has called you to. And you have to hit on all cylinders. So what's the problem? You're not using the keys. You're not sticking in the mission of your life and moving forward in faith. You're trying to look outside of you to handle what God has put inside of you. You're only stuck because you won't take the chance and trust God with what God has given you. Think about it. This is Pastor Jay. Like, subscribe, and share, and I'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Amen. Praise God. Let's get started. Welcome everybody. Welcome everybody to our Bible study, Saturday, the Bible discussion. We're getting ready to head down a road called contextual reading of the Bible. And the goal for this class is simply, each person may be in a different position as far as their understanding and contextual reading of the God, of the Word of God. My goal is to just make you a little better for you, make the Bible richer to you, and through understanding context. When you understand the context, our thing is going to be, you could write this first word, context, and you can use your phone. When I ask for a definition of a word, you can Google it. I want you to get used to using your phone. Okay. These are great tools. Instead of having 17, 15 books in front of you, use Google, when you can, when I ask what context is. So the first word is context, and then the next word is interpretation, and the next word is application. Okay, context, that's where we gather all the data about the story. Interpretation, what do we conclude from the story? And then application is, how are we going to apply it to our life, if possible? There's some things that are in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that simply don't correlate to 2024.
Yeah.
Okay, it just doesn't. You know, as bad as people want to shove that in there, you talk about a whole different society, a whole different culture that's basically agrarian in nature, and you know, they didn't have an industrial revolution, you know. So some of the things that we may find out is, yeah, we understand it, we understand the principle behind it, but it really is not a one-to-one correlation to us. And then we're gonna find out some things that are uniquely Israel that are not the church, okay? So that's the goal. So you, when you read the Word of God, you need to know these things. You need to know the dispensations. You need to know, which we've done before. You need to know what preceded what. And once you know what prophet goes where, or what book goes where, based upon your understanding of, there's different times that you can say, is that pre-Babylonian, post-Babylonian, pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. Then you'll be able to make the Bible smaller, because you'll read a prophet. You say, oh, this prophet had to come after they went back to Jerusalem, okay? Or this prophet came in the time when they were being exiled to Babylonian. Or this book had to be written during the time of Moses. And then everything will start making sense to you. And then what we always do is look at things from Genesis and the God's promise to humanity, and we look at it through the lens of the epistles in Jesus. So we gaze back through the epistles all the way back through time and see what God is trying to do. That's what we do, okay? That's what we do. So the first word we're going to look up, can you imagine what that word is?
Context.
Context. All right, somebody give me a definition of context. Google it.
Context is the
so everybody can hear it. Can you play it? No, just Google. Just go ahead. Read what you got.
Dictionary.com definition one, the parts of a written or spoken statement that precede or follow a specific word or passage, usually influencing its meaning or effect.
Okay, that's context. Now, Google contextual reading.
Looking at every verse, if you're talking about the Bible, looking at every verse or passage in relation to the verses, chapters, and broader narratives that surround it.
So that's context. And today we're just going to deal with context. Okay? So we're looking at the passages and looking at everything around it. Alicia, I love Alicia. Alicia spurs me to really get into understanding that a lot of our issues is, Alicia brought it up, the culture then versus the culture now. And again, we need to go back in time and move our culture out the way for a minute and really dive into their culture, okay? Because that's what makes it plain to you. And then you move forward into 2024, okay? So culture is big, all right? So we're going to, I don't know if anybody saw it. Do anybody know where we're going to be today?
Jeremiah
26, 27, 28, 29. We're not probably going to get to 27, 28, 29 today. We're just going to start in Jeremiah 26. And if anybody did any discovery of things, let me ask you this. And then, Sister Brown, you can Google it, or Free, you can Google it. Just hold on and get a piece. Okay, what is the name of this book?
The Prophecies.
What is the name of the book?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, yeah. Don't go to the Prophecies. Jeremiah. Yeah, just Jeremiah. Boy, y'all, don't get too deep. Okay, go try to, you know, just, it's Jeremiah. Now, what does the name Jeremiah mean?
Weeping prophet.
No.
No, that's what he did.
See, that's one of them colloquialisms that we say that's not necessarily true. He weeped, but all of them weeped. So, yeah, that's something that we say that reminds us of who he is. What does the name Jeremiah mean? Give him time, Sister Brown. Does anybody know?
Oh, I got it. Hebrew what? Name, man. May Jehovah exalted or exalted to the Lord.
Okay, may Jehovah exalt, the exalted one, okay? That's what Jeremiah's name means. Now, we remember back in Jeremiah 21, number one, he was picked at a young age. How old was Jeremiah? See, we get in context. How old was Jeremiah when he got picked?
Before he was born.
Okay, no, I'm talking about when he started his prophecy.
Oh, before he was a young man.
Yeah, how old was he?
A youth, maybe a teenager or something.
There's a number.
Is there a number?
Oh. Yeah. It's not necessarily in scripture, but it's based upon the kings and who was in king during that time and all of that. But anybody can find that out. Google it. When did Jeremiah start prophesying? What's the estimated time? How old was he? The key is you have to learn how to ask your phone the right questions.
Right.
See, one of the things about a person who understands things is they know how to ask the question to get the answer that they need. So the question is, how old was Jeremiah when he started prophesying?
Approximately 17.
So you were close, Leisha. Approximately 17. And normally they say 17 to 20. Okay, he was a young man. Who else was a young man when they started dealing with God? That's in the Bible, Old Testament. No.
Oh, yeah, because he started when he was a little kid, Josiah. Doing the priestly duties.
Josiah was a young one. Who else? Who's the youngest one?
Wasn't Josiah?
No.
It wasn't Samuel.
Samuel.
And that's before he was born, right?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Got it. Hey, you can't mumble answers in here. Expect me to go, okay, I'm not going to accept them. No.
I get
you. Speak up. Okay? Speak up. Okay, you're free to start this. Cut the phone. Yeah, start that. So, there we have it. Okay, so we know that he was 17. We know what his name means. We know what country is he in. Come on, y'all. What country is he in?
Now, he was before Babylon because he was the one that prophesied Babylon.
So, what country is he in? He's in Judah, Jerusalem. He's in Israel proper. Okay, he's in Israel. All right. Like I said, okay. Yeah, he's in Israel. When he started prophesying, they haven't been exiled yet. The final exile, the final deportation hadn't happened yet. So he's prophesying to the men and women of Judah, which I gave you that answer, but I should have asked you. But, okay, so again, if you want to catch up to 26, you know that Venus is doing Jeremiah, okay? And all I'm doing is trying to help you put it together so it makes sense, all right? I'm not going to give you, we're not going to be hopping all over the place as far as scriptures are concerned. We're going to stay right with the text. You know, sometimes you got to get used to the text before you start proof texting. Okay? You got to get used to the text. So we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 26. And the goal of this class is, I'm going to make a statement. Jeremiah 29:11 is not what you think it is. And what you've been thinking it is. And what most people think it is. Because we kind of alluded to that, Alicia, before, okay? But we're going to prove it out. We're not going to leave it just to our words. We're going to prove it out with scripture, okay? We're going to pull it out to a narrative. So we're going to start at verse 1, chapter 26. Let's see what we have. And if you guys start writing down people, places, names, context, once she finishes the chapter, I'm going to come back and do that. But I might stop her, and we're going to say, what do you see here? Okay, you're gaining context. So at the top of your page, put context, Jeremiah 26. All right, Frida, go ahead.
In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah.
Stop. What we got right off the top?
Jehoiakim.
Uh-huh. Who is he son of?
Son of Josiah.
Okay, so we got you got Josiah, you got the son of Josiah, his name is Jehoiakim, and he's the king of Judah. That will go into context. Okay, we know you can put Jeremiah up there. Jeremiah is the prophet. Okay, right up top, we got two people and we got a position. That's a context, a king. All right, go ahead.
This word came from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord.
Stop. So now, a place, where is he going to speak? Where in particular?
The court of the Lord.
The court of the Lord. Okay. And how many people he gonna speak to?
All.
All. All the what?
All
the cities of Judah. Context. We just building our context. Go ahead.
They come to worship in the house of the Lord. All the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word.
Mm-hmm.
It may be they will listen and everyone will turn from his evil way.
Stop. So in context, what is his assignment?
Speak every word.
Speak every word, you know, and make it, you know, you don't have to write out sentences. Make it kind of, just make this like a punch list for yourself. Speak every word. And the purpose for every word is that what?
They may listen.
That they may listen and turn, right?
Yes.
What's another word for turn?
Repent.
So you might want to put repent by that. Because that's going to help you in your interpretation.
The way I study or the way it's kind of going kind of fast for me because the way I write slowly.
Okay, I can slow down. Yeah, just tell me to slow down. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay.
So. Tell me when you're ready. I can do some filler talk until you're ready. So, again, we're taking our time and chronicalizing. Now, when you go home, what I want you to do is chronicalize it in a way for yourself. Okay? A way for yourself to use it. You might have different sections been brought off. You might have the names in one section and then what they were supposed to be doing in another section. Okay? In the context. All right? So I want you to be as creative as you need. I'm just giving you a basic outline. Okay, so that's what we want to do. You just want to do. You ready, sister?
Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
It may be that they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds.
So we got God saying repent, and then God saying if they would just turn, I may what?
Relent.
What do we think relent is? What does relent mean?
Change.
stop
what he's going to be doing. So you can put the word stop by the word relent. You're going to stop. That he may stop. Mm-hmm. And see, this is the thing that as we talk about this, think about it. Even at that late point in their disobedience, God is still saying the same thing all the way through the Bible. Mm-hmm. Turn, repent. I'll hear you. I'll accept you. But you have to do that.
This is where grace is going on and on and on.
All through the Bible. Even though we know that we're in the season of grace, I look at it as grace been going on since the fall of Adam. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's just that we had law, and law should have ran us to grace. They never could perform it. But they vowed that they would. And God took their vow seriously. Okay? So he's saying, look, if you will repent, relent, I'll stop. I may stop. He didn't say guaranteed. He said, I may stop. All right, go ahead.
You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth.
So we got an actual name of a city. It's called what?
Shiloh.
So maybe in your spare time, you need to find out what happened to Shiloh. He said, and it's part of the curse. He said, I'm going to make it like Shiloh. I'm going to curse it like Shiloh. And see, this is what you need to discover. There's only one entity that can curse. That's God. You can't put no curse on me. You ain't got that kind of power. All throughout the Bible, it's God cursing them. And if God's the one who curses them, who can lift it? God. And look, and what does God, hold up, just like we said, what has God always done, gave man away, especially Israel in particular? He said, if you don't want to be cursed, do what?
Listen to
and be what? No. Yeah, but I want another word.
He wants him to obey them.
Be obedient. Obedience lifts the curse.
Do you have another Bible that she's reading from? Because this one's King James. You kind of can get...
Yeah, there should be another ESV over there.
Thank you.
Okay. So we see that God is saying, when you don't obey me, that gets you cursed. So when we talk about modern curses today, what's the reason why they cursed?
Disobedience.
Yeah, just that plain. Not no mysterious thing. I don't care if your mammy's mammy, your uncle, and all of y'all, you're gonna find disobedience in all of them. It's not gonna be an innocent person that's not cursed. God would never do that. You know how I know? Because when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, if I find one person who's righteous, I won't destroy the town. Okay? So what he's saying is, look, their disobedience is going to put them in this situation. But if they repent, I'm possibly going to change my mind and relent from this.
Well, it was more than one person.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole nation, but there were some individuals. See, this is the sad part about this. There's sometimes what God will do, you'll get caught up in the punishment of the nation because you're part of the nation. Because think about it. None of the prophets got away with being part of the exile in the sense of they still had to be subjected to Nebuchadnezzar.
Right, Daniel was.
And you have to remember this. But we'll get to that later. Go ahead. In another chapter. Go ahead.
26:7. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord.
Stop. Now who do we have?
Priests, prophets, and all the people.
Priests, prophets, and all the people. Okay.
And if I'm reading my Bible right, the prophets were called the watchers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 That's another visionaries, watchers. They gave him several names. All right, go ahead.
And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitants?
Stop. So now we have, after he gives his word of prophecy, who lays hands on him? The priests and the prophets. All because his prophecy was this city, this temple, when he said the house, they meant the temple, is going to be destroyed. And it's going, and we're going to see what's going to happen. And they didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to remember this. In the Bible, when it says prophets, don't always assume that the prophets that they're saying prophets, when they use a general name like that, they mean all good prophets. Yeah. Okay? Don't go like, okay, when he said prophets, he mean all his prophets. No, he mean in that land, they had false prophets and prophets of God, prophets of Diana, prophets. Whoever would listen that consider himself a prophet, he's talking to them. Now, in that group are God's prophets and the devil's prophets, claiming to be God's prophets. Because obviously, if I thought I was God's prophet and actually the devil's prophet, I don't want them to hear the truth. So I would go with the mob or incite the mob and the priests to lay hands on the man of God. Okay? But the minute that they do that, they prove that at this time, the priests and the prophets that were there in the city at the time, they were mostly all what? False. Okay? But they were able to generate a crowd because, again, nobody wants to hear the truth. They want a feel good motivational thing. All right, go ahead.
And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord.
So now we have some other people just came into the play. Who are they?
Officials.
The officials. These are the king's men. These are the officials. Okay? They came, and what they would do is hold court at the gate. All right? So they laid hands on Jeremiah. They're going to bring charges against him. Well, we don't have to worry about two or three witnesses because it's a whole bunch of them. What does that remind you of?
When they crucified Jesus.
All right? See, types and shadows. Jeremiah and what he's going through is a type and shadow of what Jesus' reality was too. All right. But Jesus coming to bring them what? Good news. And they destroyed him. Jeremiah is saying, because of your disobedience, something's about to happen that you don't like. Jesus trying to tell them, I'm here to give you what I promised. What we promised back in Adam and Eve. Okay. It's just something about, it doesn't make a difference if you're a man or woman of God, you're going to be fought against by the masses, all right? No matter what you say, all right? Go ahead.
Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you.
Oh, now we have a twist. Now he's saying what's that's different than the first time he said what he said. What's different?
Mend your ways.
Well, but there's something else. There's a new way. There's something that's more definite.
He said before, may.
There you go.
This time it's more precise.
He said what?
Will.
He will relent.
So they got a guarantee now. There is no more maybe. If you mend your ways, which is another form of repentance, and do what's right, well, what does that sound right? We need to love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly before our God. That's what he required of them. That's what Pastor Sims was talking about. That's a key. That's always been the key. That's the key to today. That's such a, and how that key is expressed is you're expressing it now. You're gaining the knowledge of where it came from. You can use the key once you got the knowledge. You can't use a key when you go have the knowledge. Or if you do use the key, you're going to mess up and hurt somebody. But now you're getting it in little bits, and you see, I can bounce and find. I say, okay, this is where this is from. Okay? I know by two or three witnesses, everything is established. So the mob thought, because we went and talked against the prophet and brought him before the court, that they will hear us and not even listen to him. But he came with a better message. He came with a simple message. Turn, obey, and he will not do what I said he's going to do. Now, think about this. Jeremiah, being one of the Israelites, do you think he liked this prophecy?
No.
Why not?
Because it affected him also, didn't it, in a way? And he didn't want to go to his people, giving them, him being one of them, that type of message.
Yeah, make them human. Don't make them superhuman. No one likes to deliver. Nobody likes to deliver bad news. And he's one of them. These are his people. And he's high. And he, remember, he's what? He's young. He's young. They don't respect him as much. Who's this young whippersnapper prophet coming up? And you got people who are 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old prophets sitting there. And of course, they don't want to hear that.
Not from no young child.
Not from no young child, no.
And there, if I remember my studies right, priests started at the age of 30. And mm-hmm. This guy is prophesying at the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
You ain't even close.
Right.
Right. So you're coming against, and the good thing about God is that he talked to him beforehand and said, before I formed you in the womb, I separated you, I ordained you for this. And don't be afraid what they're saying. But it had to be frightening for him.
Yeah.
Because it's frightening for an adult. But it's got to be even more frightening for a child to go against not only one person that's an adult that's over you that you're taught to respect. You've got a whole nation.
There you go.
That's going against what God. That has got to be mind-boggling.
There you go. So what, we're going to get some interpretation. I don't want to see. I'm ready to do some interpretation, but we're not. All right. Go ahead, Free. Go ahead.
So when you said you were going to do so, we're going to first do the contextual and then get into the interpretation and then the same verse, or are we going to go all the way through?
We're going to do chapter 26 and then we're going to do an interpretation.
So chapter.
And then we're going to see how what we've gained out of it for our life. So we're still in context.
Right, and then we're going to the
interpretation. Uh-huh.
And the application.
And this is what I'm going to tell you. As you're doing context, like we're touching on interpretation.
Yeah.
As we go through, okay? We're touching on interpretation as we go through, you know? So even interpretation should be richer. We should better go faster with interpretation based upon your notes and what you read, all right? Go ahead.
But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you.
Mm-hmm.
Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to speak all these words in your ears. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, Micah and Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves. There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord.
Stop right there. So we got some other people now. Who we have? We mentioned.
Micah.
Micah. Who's a prophet? Hezekiah.
Elders.
Well, we already got elders. We got elders. She should have elders already. Moresheth. Okay.
Moresheth is a place.
Right.
Yeah, Moresheth is another place. Yeah, we're supposed to, remember, context has places. So we have that, all right? And now we're coming to another prophet, all right? What is the rule, the law and the rule of thumb for witnesses?
Two or three.
So when you got Jeremiah, if you know that a rule, you have to look for somewhere in this, somebody gonna back him up.
Right.
He has to have that to fall with under the law, because they're still under the law. All right. Now go ahead, Freedom.
There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah from Kiriathirim.
Okay, Kiriathirim. Okay. So now we have another prophet who prophesied in the name of the Lord. So we know that he's a real prophet. And his name is what? Uriah. Well, let's not get Uriah confused with the Uriah of who?
King David.
Okay. This is another one. All right. Make sure you get a book. So this is Uriah. He's a prophet. Because we know the riot during King David time, he wasn't no prophet.
He was a warrior.
He was a warrior, a soldier, and he got killed. Okay? So we know that's not him. All right? Common name, Uriah. All right? Now, what I'm going to challenge you to do is all these names, look up what they mean, and you'll notice something. All these names. Everybody that got a name, person-wise, don't do it now. Go home, look it up, see what you see. All right? All right. Go ahead.
He prophesied against this city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah.
Saying the same thing. In the church, we're supposed to be all saying what?
The same thing.
Okay? That's how you be on one accord. You're saying, now, he may say it in his different style, but the Bible says he's saying like the same thing. He prophesied the same thing. Okay. And isn't God nice to give you another one to listen to?
Yeah.
You may look at Jeremiah and like you said, he's a little boy. Boy, get on, go back home to your mama. Oh, yeah, all right, God gonna punish us. No. Not out of your mouth. So I'm willing to assume that Uriah is probably older. And that's an assumption. Because I would think God would tell us he was like his age too. So God, what God would do, and God is just, think about it, he's trying to get them to repent. So it would make sense to me, you don't want to listen to the young boy, I'm going to send one of your contemporaries to come talk to you. Maybe you will listen to him, all right? Remember we talked about in Matthew 18, maybe you'll listen to him, all right? All right, so you got the second witness for God that comes to say the same thing. Go ahead.
And when King Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death.
Oh, my God. Now, instead of just the people, the priests, and the prophets, now Jehoiakim, the king, is going to sought to put him to death. They sought to put him to death. They didn't want to hear it from him. All right, go ahead.
But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt.
Who's another prophet that fled?
Moses.
Who else?
Jonah.
Who else?
Abraham fled.
Who fled after they had a big battle with a bunch of prophets and killed a whole bunch of them?
Ahab.
No, Ahab's a bad king.
Elijah.
Elijah. He killed all them prophets, and then here come Jezebel, and he like, I got to get out of here.
What's the deal with should I ask this question? What's the deal going back to Egypt every time he turned around?
That's a good question. Figure it out.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's a good question. That's a real good question. You investigate and come back and tell me. All right. Go ahead. That's a very good question. Alicia, I love when you ask questions because I'm going to throw it back on you to look for it.
Every time.
So you should already know. I might as well go and look for it myself. But no, that's a good question. I think that's a question that you should ask. Based upon what you just heard. There's nothing wrong with asking questions of the scripture. That you that's see what your mind is doing is clicking like, damn, everybody be talking about Egypt.
Everybody.
Abraham. And I'm gonna give you one hint. You got to remember, that's their biggest moment of delivery up to this point. That God always reminds them of so that they could get straight, like, remember what I done. The goddaughter. Go sit down.
She has to go to the restroom.
Oh, well, go to the restroom. You ain't got to ask to go to the restroom. Go to the restroom. All right, go ahead.
I got it. 22.
Yeah.
Then King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and others with him. And they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim.
Stop right there for a second. So now we got some more people. Who we got?
Elnathan.
Okay, huh? And Achbor. Again, look up all these names. You're going to be surprised as they pattern out. Go ahead.
And they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with the sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common people.
So we got the city. We got the country Egypt that he fled to. That goes there. And we got the fact that he was killed by Jehoiakim. And they dumped his body in basically what we would call the trash heap. They didn't even give him a burial. The man of God. Doesn't that kind of sound like they was trying to do that to somebody else down the line? They want to do that with Jesus. If what's his face didn't come, I can't think of his name, didn't come get Jesus, they would have just dumped his body in the trash heap. Yeah, if he didn't come get Jesus and put him in the tomb, he'd been put in the trash heap. The two thieves, they got put in the trash heap. But one got put in the trash heap and going to meet Jesus in glory. The other one is going to be in the trash heap. Okay? So we see how royalty treats men and women of God back then. They discard them when they're not telling them what they want to hear. Doesn't that kind of match the story like in this day? What it say about this day and the people? What they going to do? Raise up teachers who tell them what they want to hear. You see, you had that kind of attitude way back then. Now the church is in the same position to read what we just read. And don't we understand if it was back then, don't we think that is now? Mm-hmm. Like we would just want to hear these motivational speeches to make us feel good versus hearing the convicted speakers, sermons that convicts us to seek God out even the more. And that motivates us, okay? You're never going to get motivated by the sugar. You're never going to come to God really by the sugar and spice and everything nice thing. That don't work, okay? Never has, never will, okay? The fact you got to admit you're a sinner, you already start off behind the eight ball, okay? Mm-hmm. But you can come to the front because you can repent, you can believe in Jesus as your Savior, all of that good stuff. All right, go ahead. What verse you want?
Verse 24.
Okay, go ahead.
But the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan.
Okay, y'all can start writing these names down because I ain't going to stop no more. Okay, y'all write these names down at your leisure or free if you want to stop so people can write them down too. Ahikam and what?
Shaphan.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that he was not given over to the people to be put to death.
So he must have been important. Mm-hmm. He must have been important enough to keep, because they wanted to kill Jeremiah too. Uriah just didn't have the right pull. Mm-hmm. All right? Uriah didn't have the right pull. But God didn't say that he was going to save Uriah. Think about this. Uriah was born to give this word, the same word that Jeremiah did, but he was not spared. Jeremiah was. He fulfilled his assignment and went to death. And see, this is another thing. Well, that's interpretation. I'm going to leave it alone. Go ahead.
That concludes 26.
Okay. Now, write out interpretation on a separate page. You got your book. We did the context. Now, let's get into the interpretation. So, you don't have to necessarily name the names. But what do we see in this chapter? And y'all can just discuss this openly. What do we see in this chapter? What do y'all see? Starting at the top to the bottom.
What do we see in this chapter?
First off, a whole lot of people.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. What do you see interpretation-wise in the chapter?
God's warning to people to repent.
God's warning to not just people, be specific. God's warning to who?
I mean, even to prophets.
No. To Judah to repent. Okay. He's warning to them to repent. Okay, keep going. Y'all got to keep going. That's just the beginning.
Jeremiah was in trouble. A whole bunch of people was trying to kill him.
No, we got to. You went too far, too fast.
Rejection of the people of Judah toward the prophet.
Toward the prophet of God. Okay, the rejection. Okay, keep going. Who rejected him? Priests, prophets, and we know the king did too, right? Mm-hmm. And the elders. So we had the priests, prophets, the people, and the royalty reject his message.
What I see is, and I hope I'm doing this right, what I see is that the people that the kings and stuff had their own agenda, and it was with their agenda, they didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say because Jeremiah came with the agenda of what God wanted.
Okay.
So when, as they're rejecting, they're trying to get their own agenda done, and they're rejecting Jeremiah's because that's God's agenda. They're trying to get everybody on their side to make themselves seem that they're going the right direction.
Okay.
Even though they know for a fact they're going the wrong direction.
Anybody can challenge that? Because I could.
We know you could, but
I want y'all to discuss that with your sister. I don't want to be the one always jumping in. I mean, she said that, and to get me straight, that the royalty had its own agenda.
Right. The king had his own agenda.
Okay. And that agenda was?
Against what God, he had his own agenda to do whatever he wanted to do.
Oh.
Against God's agenda, because Jeremiah's telling them what God's agenda is.
Okay.
And he's telling them all they need to do
is right, clean it up. That's right, clean it up.
All you got to do is stop doing what you're trying to do and do what God is telling them to do, which is repent, turn from your evil ways, and obey God.
Okay,
but
see.
They didn't want to do that because they had their own mindset, their own agenda.
Okay, so you cleaned it up a little bit and that you cleaned it up good because you first said they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. Really, they did want to do what God wanted them to do because they Jews. They want God, but they just didn't want to hear that from God. So they did have their own agenda. It wasn't to go against God. It was to go against this man, Jeremiah, who's saying that my whole city going to be destroyed. Think about a king. You're telling me that God that we serve, that all our ancestors serve, you got to remember, they're very prideful. All our ancestors serve. I go all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and them. We're getting ready because of our disobedience. And you got to remember, people who are confronted with disobedience never think they what?
Disobedient.
They think they doing what God's supposed them to do. Because in this current situation, because we didn't go back further, you'll find that the first deportation had already taken place. Okay? So they're trying to work it out so they won't have to go. It's already took place. And now God is coming back and saying, oh, he ain't done yet. He not done yet. Okay? So at least you're right. And where do we get the phrase about doing what you want to do in their own eyes?
Judges.
In Judges. See how Bibles start getting smaller? Everybody does what is what? Right in their own eyes. That's way back in Judges. Israel ain't changed one iota, and mankind hasn't changed either. The truth doesn't need support. But the truth will always be the light that dispels the darkness. The truth will identify those who are false. So right now we have a whole nation and its leadership not following God. Okay, let's go keep going. And what do we see? What do we notice about God in this? What is he? What is God offering them?
His mercy is getting greater because at first it was he may relent, and then a little later it says he will relent. His word became stronger and like more patient with us, more merciful.
Okay, more patient. Well, what's that called when somebody's being patient with you for a long time?
Mercy.
Long suffering. So in this, we see the long suffering of God. God went from, okay, maybe y'all didn't understand me correctly. I said I may repent. Now I'm telling you, if you do this, that, and the other, mend your ways, follow the law, do what's right, and mend in your ways, follow the law as far as they're concerned. We're not worried about the ceremonial laws. We're not worried about those. What is the three things that God told Israel that they need to do that he wants? I said it here already. Pastor Sim said it. What are the three things that they need to do?
Do good. Do good, seek justice. Do.
Come on.
Do good, seek
justice. No, not do good, but you close. Love.
Good. Love.
Love, the M word.
The N word.
M.
Love, mercy.
Do.
Good.
J word.
Justice.
And walk.
Love, mercy, do justice, and walk.
H word?
Humbly.
Before who?
God.
For God. That would be the mending. That's all they had to do. Do love mercy. Do justice. And see, by that time, Israel was so out of control, they were treating the poor real bad. Okay? And they were commanded not to do that. You know? That's why the widow's mite story is not a glorious story for giving. It's a sad indictment on Israel because even by, you're talking about 2,000 years later, they're still taking advantage of the poor. Okay?
That's why they keep saying, that's why he, in the, you see a lot of help the widows,
mm-hmm.
help the fatherless.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what, okay.
James 1:26 and 1:27, which this church was founded on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what our church was founded on. James 1:26 and 1:27 and Isaiah 43:18-19. So, there we go. Well, anything else y'all notice in this passage before we move on? I didn't know how much we was going to cover today, so but we're doing good. Go ahead. How much we going to... Okay, anything else we need to get out of this in interpretation of this passage?
A lot of repetition of what's been said over and over and over again through the ages.
Okay. Repetition, okay. Is that then? Now you got to remember, I'm looking for interpretation. Okay. What you gave me is true. But what are we supposed to interpret out of this?
If you see, when you see a lot of repetition.
Repetition.
It means that he's really, this is very important to God.
He's emphasizing something.
When you see it more than twice, when I see something like, when I see like a scripture in the same chapter and it said over and over again, I know now to pay attention to that particular wording because that's very important what God wants to tell us.
Okay. And so now my interpretation, what was God trying to tell them?
Repent and obey.
Mm-hmm. Repent and obey. Would y'all all agree? Was there anything else?
Always the way out whenever Israel doing wrong.
Repent and obey. Anything else? What else? What else was he showing them? You brought it up earlier. What else was in interpretation? What else do you see God doing?
Being merciful.
Being merciful, being gracious. Anything else? Any other words that you would call?
When you stand on God's word, no matter what you're up against, God's got you.
Okay.
That's what I see with Jeremiah. And it doesn't matter what your... Moses said the same thing. He was frightened to tell, you know, talk to Pharaoh. Because one, he knew Pharaoh. He had he had experience with Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
He had... I can't remember the word I'm trying to say, but... He knew Pharaoh.
Well, he grew up as a Pharaoh.
He grew up as that. So he mm-hmm. knew the whole culture of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when he went against them, he knew, hey, this is what's going to, I already know what's going to happen, but God was letting them know, I've got you.
Right.
When I tell you to go against somebody, that's.
Well, when I tell you to give my word, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Give my word. Yeah, just give my word. Whatever it is, whether it's, see, good or positive is relative to who you're talking to. Because if you a child of God, it doesn't make a difference what the issue is. If it's God's word, even if I don't like it being done to me, I got to accept it's God's word. You know, see good, what we think is good. I have to like it. No, obviously we see that in one, who gave God's word and what happened to them in this?
Uriah.
Uriah. gave the same exact word from God, but his assignment was to give it and die.
But that's to me sounds like I'm reminded of John the Baptist. Same thing. He introduced who Jesus was, and then he died right after that.
Right. He was the second witness. To who Christ was, and his assignment is over. So the question I have for you, could you handle something like that? See, you would think that you're supposed to go on and do all these, as they tell you in these fake churches, you want to do great things. What if the great thing you're supposed to do is say one sentence and then the world going to kill you? Because you stand on the word of God. And to be honest, nobody wants to even think about that.
No.
Nope.
Uriah didn't know that was going to happen to him.
I'm reminded also, I was reading Jasher, and in the book of Jasher, when you go up into Abel, he's talking to Cain, and he's not talking to Cain as though he's fighting for his life. He's talking to Cain like, I already know that if you do this to me, whatever you don't go do to me, God's got my back. No matter if you kill me right now, God's got my back. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to accept.
And Jeremiah did the same thing. Jeremiah said, do what you want with me.
Yeah.
Do what you want to me. It don't make no difference what you do to me. Because in the New Testament, it breaks it down like this. Be afraid of who can kill the body and the soul. Yeah. Paul said, I'm not scared of no one because my message is bigger than me. And he wore the scars of the message that was bigger than him. That's why he said, if this message ain't true, I done wasted my time. Because I was a Pharisee. I was on my way up. But then when I met God, God told me how much I was going to have to suffer for his sake. And see, there's not a woman or man of God who, if they're truly chosen, this is not that's the path. I don't know what these other people own. But this is the path. Suffering. For those who are chosen by God. All that smiley, happy, you're going to get a blessing with your name on it. That ain't God. That's the world. Because what God is trying to do for Israel right now is save them. He's trying to save them. Not one person, not just Jeremiah, but the whole nation. He loves that nation. And he still does. But the nation of Israel has been disobedient. And for us at this church to see this, we fall into the same trap. We do what we want to do. And our imagination is really big because we think everything we do is spiritual. And it don't line nothing up with the word of God because there's no fruit from it. Don't benefit nobody but you. Think about Jeremiah's message. Didn't really benefit him because it put him in harm's way. But it was a message for the nation to save the nation. And if he knew and why they called Jeremiah the weeping prophet, he gave them a way out and they wouldn't take it.
He was weeping for them.
He was weeping for them. The same weeping that Jesus did for Jerusalem when he was here. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how would I gather thee like a mother hen? But you won't come. You will not come. Believe upon me as the scripture. All those who thirst, believe upon me as the scripture has said. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You won't come. I've given you this, Israel. Jeremiah's time and during the time of Jesus, he was here to finish his business with them. He was here. Each child, the prophet to the Jews. The Jews were supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles. But their light became dim because they disobeyed God. And the same thing with church. Our light is dim in this world because we got too many people playing this game. And the devil did exactly what he was supposed to do. He just made a whole bunch of churches, the so-called ordained all these people, and all these people ain't ordained. Not by God. They ordained by man.
Because ordained just means set apart.
But yeah, but again, you know, I ain't gonna sit here and lie. I didn't watch it too much. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You a minister. You a minister. I see something in you. You a minister. How you gonna be a minister? You can't rightly divide the word of truth. He gave us criteria.
He sure did.
But nobody held them to it. Guess what? That's why I ain't ordained nobody up in here. Don't come to me talking about you need to be ordained. You better go get that at one of them other churches. Because when you get it here, I'm going to know that you can go out in this world, throw the Bible up in the air, let it hit the ground. Whatever page it land on, you can explain it. That's the criteria I have, because that was the criteria for me. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? So we finished with 26. Anything else y'all want to get out of 26? Because a lot of it's going to carry over to 27 now in your interpretation. Go ahead.
There was a glimmer of hope. You forgot.
Go ahead.
Micah of Moresheth, he prophesied in the days of Hezekiah. And 19, verse 19 started with him asking all of these requests, I think rhetorical questions.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer is, they did turn around, because he said, but we are about to bring great disaster. And I guess when Micah of Moresheth prophesied in Hezekiah, that the people at that time did
repent. Yeah. So we see the hope, we see the mercy, we see the grace of God in this section. All right, turn to 27.
Thank you for listening to the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. If this message has been a blessing to you, consider donating on your favorite platform. You can donate by looking in the description box and picking your favorite platform of choice, Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal. Continue listening. And your prayers are needed, welcomed, and appreciated.